The Power of Music. Coming up later, we'll hear from the founder of the Harmony Project, a special volunteer choir that shares its music to entertain and do good works in Columbus and Central Ohio. Right now, we ask about the power of music on our minds and our bodies. In her acclaimed documentary film, The Music Instinct, Science and Song, Elena Manis explored the power of music and its connection to the body, the brain, and nature. In her new book, The Power of Music, Pioneering Discoveries in the New Science of Song, she delves into more detail to ask, can music make people smarter, happier, and even healthier? Elena Manis, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
The question of whether music really can make people smarter, happier, and even healthier isn't a new one. You've said, you've written and have talked about how throughout history, philosophers and thinkers at least intuitively believed music was integral to who we are and what we are. So what's changed to make it a more relevant topic today?
Well, really the hard science. There's been a revolution in neuroscience in the last decade or so, with new brain imaging techniques, which allows researchers to actually see the brain in action through fMRI scans and PET scanning, so they can actually see how the brain responds to music and how the brain is changed by music. So for the first time, there's really hard evidence in Western science terms to show the power of music.
And you've said that more important than discovering its power is that we're learning how to harness its power.
Well, that's right. The more we understand about specifically how music affects the brain, I mean, what kinds of music, what elements of music create certain effects and changes on the brain, the more we could use music, for example, for healing purposes and medical purposes. It's already being used to help people with neurological disorders, and the more specific we can get with that in the coming years, the more specific the treatments will be.
With brain imaging, researchers are able to see how the brain is affected by music, you said, and we know that it can actually change the shape of the brain.
Well, yeah, it changes the physical structures of the brain in some ways. For example, the corpus callosum, which is kind of a cable that links the right and left sides of the brains, is actually larger in professional musicians than it is in people who aren't professional musicians. And professional musicians have more gray matter. Now, scientists hasten to caution that it's conceivable that it's self-selection, that is, that people who already have a larger corpus callosum or more gray matter end up being musicians, but the evidence indicates that musical training really does have effect on the physical structures or the physical nature of the brain.
And of course, now that we can see it, we can see it while someone's alive, and we can look at it now. That's something that they can look at over time now.
That's right. So there are ongoing studies. For example, there are big implications, of course, for music and education. Which is interesting in light of all the budget cuts recently for mm-hmm. arts education in the schools. But there was a flurry of interest some years ago, and I'm sure many listeners may remember, about some research that seemed to indicate that merely listening to Mozart, for example, could make kids smarter.
The baby Mozart tapes and all that, or CDs,
right,
or whatever they were.
That research, that specific research, has not been replicated. Scientists haven't been able to support that claim exactly. However, the latest research does indicate that doing music, singing or playing an instrument at a young age, may very well have long-term effects on other cognitive skills like language and spatial reasoning, for example. It's not completely proven yet, but there are strong indications that that's true.
My guest is Elena Manis. She's a documentary filmmaker and also an author. Her book is called, getting to it.
Shall I give it
to you? Yeah, tell me your book.
The Power of Music, Pioneering Discoveries in the New Science of Song.
We've known for a long time, getting back to the educational aspects of it, that there is the correlation between musical training and ability to learn other skills, like math especially. We've known that for a long time. There's been a correlation, at least, right?
Well, and in terms of math specifically, I mean, music, of course, is based on math.
Right.
But, you know, no, I wouldn't say that there's hard evidence that musicians have greater math ability, although there's a lot of anecdotal evidence to that effect, interestingly enough. But, you know, that's not exactly a proven fact.
The correlation isn't even.
Right.
You've written about how music also has the power to heal.
Right. Well, music is that's a fascinating area, and one, you know, big reason I wrote the book to add more material about that. Because as we understand that the brain is affected by music, and in terms of neuroscience in general, there's, you know, great evidence now that the brain is plastic. It can change even as adults. It's called neuroplasticity. So if that's true, then it certainly has implications not only for education, maybe making people smarter in some sense, but for healing the brain or healing disorders by acting upon the brain. Music's already being used to help Parkinson's patients. If they hear a rhythmic beat from a music track, they can walk a straight line, whereas when the music's not playing, they can't, they weave around and can't walk. Music is being used to help stroke patients, which in that case has long-lasting effects. There's a therapy called melodic intonation therapy for people who have lost the ability to speak, lost language ability. And if they sing phrases over time working with a therapist, they can regain some language ability through the use of music. And many of us with aging parents may have experienced the fact that music, people with Alzheimer's respond to music long after they've lost other abilities. And as I said, the more we understand about the brain, the more we're understanding why. It turns out researchers believe that the medial prefrontal cortex is kind of the brain area involved in memory and also the area that does tonal processing. Like when we hear a tune, that area of the brain is the one that processes the interrelationships between tones and, you know, understands melody and harmony and all that. So it's very interesting. That's also the brain affected, the part of the brain affected by Alzheimer's. So there's all sorts of new studies coming out. And one neuroscientist told me that we're really just at the tip of the iceberg and that the potential of music to help with aging, for example, and even more with other neurological disorders is really, as he put it, the stuff of science fiction, potentially. But they really believe, the neuroscientists, that we're heading in that direction.
If you would like to speak to our guest, Ellen Amanis, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We only have a few minutes, though, so get the calls and the emails in right away, and we'll try to get to them. There is a certain universality to music as well. It crosses cultures. It's a medicine or a therapy that would have the same effect on anybody. You wouldn't have to speak a special language or have a certain blood type.
That's true. I mean, the evidence is that we're really born wired for music to at least a certain degree, and there are certain elements of music that all of us seem to comprehend. I mean, the intervals in music that are common across cultures are the octave, you know, the eight-note spread, and to some degree the fifth, the interval of five notes, or the perfect fourth. Then, too, of course, culture does have an influence. We, you know, become used to the music that we hear all the time. So I, for example, don't really respond much to Chinese opera, whereas, you know, I do to Western classical music because that's what I grew up hearing. So the neurons in our brain, you know, come wired to process music up to a certain point, but then the neurons adapt and change and grow new connections as we hear the music of our culture.
614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Could you talk in particular about Western classical music? It's said that because of its rhythms, and you mentioned tonal structure, that it can be used to address those symptoms of aging. Do we know much about what the best music is yet?
No, I would say that in terms of diversion from aging, but there's some evidence that in terms of reduction of pain, for example, and uses in other ways, that Western classical music seems to work. I mean, it's not provable, but it may be because Western classical music is based on this kind of fundamental tonal structure of these basic intervals that seem to be in all cultures, that may explain both its endurance and why it seems to have particular effect. But I can't really say, and the scientists wouldn't say, that that's the only form of music that could, you know, create certain healing effects.
Well, I was kind of wondering just if you have a favorite song. If someone has a favorite song, maybe it goes a little bit deeper than the fact that they play it 5,000 times on the radio. Maybe it's because it makes them feel better physically.
Well, it does. I mean, memory and association has a great deal to do with the emotional effect that music has on us. You know, if I hear a song that, I loved as a teenager and heard it with a boyfriend, you know, that song will have an impact on my emotions. And I'm sure that's true with Alzheimer's patients too. Well, we know it is, that if they hear a song that sparks memories of their youth, even if they don't consciously make the connection, I mean, that music does have an effect on them. They respond to it.
Something you brought up a little bit earlier, the idea, the difference between passively listening to it and actually engaging in it, singing or playing an instrument, that sort of thing. There was a story to go with the Harmony Project that we're going to be talking about coming up later on in the hour, about a woman who found out by chance that when she sings, her high blood pressure wasn't so high anymore.
Yes, well, I mean, there are a lot of studies on use of music to reduce stress, and I mean, that's pretty proven. And there's new research now using DNA research that actually can sort of in real time track the how the DNA, the protein markers, I believe, on the DNA is affected by music, participating in music. Excuse me.
We've also talked before in previous shows about the effect of music on dogs. And I was wondering how much of the research involves, they can use the research and look at the brain scans and that sort of thing now, but what about other kinds of experimentation on animals?
Well,
hopefully
a lot
all humane.
There's a lot of research trying to ask the question, do other species have music-like abilities, and do they respond, you know, either to human music or to their own vocalizations? There's more research about, you know, their own sounds and how they make them and why they make them and are they music, like birdsong and other species, even mice and gibbons, which seem to have a form of duet. Used to be thought that only humans had certain musical abilities, like synchronization, the ability to follow a beat. But recently, there was a cockatoo.
Snowball.
Snowball on the internet. And he can keep a beat, you know. And
he can keep a really good beat.
Neurobiologist Ani Patel went out and examined Snowball and determined that, yes, he really could. So there's some other research, as I said, with other species indicating that maybe there are other species that can synchronize. So if that's true, maybe they have other music-like abilities. But it's kind of in early stages. I mean, we can't really tell if they feel it as music the way we feel music. Is it music to them, or does it just seem like music to us? You know, there are a whole lot of questions here.
Ruth in Westerville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Ruth.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that you were talking about memories of music and so forth, but sometimes music, and I've studied music, vocal and piano and so forth, and has an intrinsic, emotional, and religious element to it. There's a piece that I love, and I always end up being weepy when I hear it, is Adagio for Strings by Samuel Barber. And there's something about that music that just brings me to a point of emotion that I just have to let go. It's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like you're reaching for something. That's kind of what it feels like when you listen to that.
Interesting. Well, right. Ruth, thank you, Ruth.
Uh-huh.
Appreciate it. There's a lot of songs out there like that. Elena Manis, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, and you can check out my website to learn more about the book, manisproductions.com.
Right, and we'll post it on our website as well at wosu.org/allsides. Elena's documentary film, it's called The Music Instinct, Science and Song, and also her book, it's called The Power of Music, Pioneering Discoveries and the New Science of Song. Thanks again, Elena, and stay with us. We're going to talk about the Harmony Project coming up on All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Start your day with local updates from the award-winning WOSU News team.
But fracking creates wastewater which contains hazardous chemicals. Now a Texas company wants to build two deep injection wells in Mansfield to dispose of the water.
The promise of four or five jobs here isn't necessarily worth living with a chemical dump site for hundreds of years. And God.
Hear the latest in local and national news on Morning Edition on 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station.
And this is 89.7 NPR News. 33 degrees in downtown Columbus at 10:22 this morning. Partly sunny skies today, warming up to a high of 46. Rain is likely tonight, a low of 36 degrees. Expect rain throughout the day on Wednesday and a high of 54. More rain, unfortunately, Wednesday night, a low of 50 degrees. And milder temperatures continue, but so does the rain. Occasional showers on Thursday and a high of 57. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
The Power of Music, coming up, that's an example right there. I've Got the Music in Me by Tobias Beauchel. Question for our listeners. We're going to be talking about the Harmony Project. Are you a beneficiary or a member of the Harmony Project? Give us a call. Tell us your story, 614-292-8513, or email us on allsides@wosu.org. So, joining us now, we've been talking about the power of music. Scientists are learning more every day about the physical manifestation of music in our bodies. But our next guest has applied it in the good old-fashioned way to entertain people and raise some money. In the case of the Harmony Project, founder and executive director David Brown directs the volunteer choir of 150 to also do good works in the community and pays for it with the proceeds from their usually sold-out concerts. David Brown is with us today. Welcome to the show, David.
Thank you, Ann.
And also with us, Christina Coral. She's the board president for the Harmony Project. Welcome to the show, Christina.
Good morning.
I mentioned earlier that one of the first articles written about the Harmony Project was by a reporter for the Suburban News. It was way back in 2009. A lot's changed. But she told the story of a Bexley woman who found out by chance that when she sings, her high blood pressure wasn't so high anymore. And I was wondering, since we were just talking about the science of music, and now you've had 2 years with this choir, you've probably seen some change in the people who participate?
Yeah, you see it all the time. A perfect example is one of our choirs that we have, one of our programs we have is called the Unison Project, which is part of the Harmony Project. And we work at the Commons at Buckingham and the Commons at Grant, working with formerly homeless people from Columbus. And last week, one of the members said to me, you know, this time of year, for the past 7 years, I've been hospitalized for depression. She said, but this year I have music in my life. And she said, I notice a change in the fact that I feel, she said she feels motivated by the music, and that it has had a direct impact on her depression. You see that with teenagers. Last season, we had a young man in the choir whose mother passed away 2 days before the concert, but he said he could not be on the stage and sing because he felt connected to his mother singing the music that he was singing in the show.
And that's why he could go through with the performance.
Absolutely, because the music helped him transcend the grief a bit and connect to the emotional part.
Yeah, we talked earlier as well about the universality of music, and that's another theme in what you do, because you bring together people from literally all walks of life.
Well, and what's unique about this is that there's no audition. So we say that the way we kind of put it out there was, if you're a fan of Glee, if you like to sing, if you've always wanted to be a part of something bigger than yourself, just come join us. And as long as we have an opening, we'll make a way. And so whoever shows up, you know, it's my job to turn those people into a choir. Now, non-traditional choir by the definition of choral standards. But, you know, the music itself is also a metaphor. We do bluegrass, R&B, funk, gospel with a little G, so that it's inclusive of all people. But, you know, as Elena was talking about, the different kind of music from around the world, we all respond to our own cultural experience differently. So for this choir, when you have people that have grown up on classical having the opportunity to perform bluegrass or gospel, those who've grown up with gospel being able to perform something that's a little more kind of maybe country inspired, they're each challenged to kind of go beyond their comfort zone musically. And what I find is that while at the beginning when they get their rehearsal CD, they may be like, I can't believe we're going to sing this. By the end of it, they write me and say, these songs have become my all-time favorite, because they're able to really understand that there is a culture that goes with a piece of music.
My guest is David Brown. He's founder and executive director of the Harmony Project. If you have a story to tell about the Harmony Project, we would love to hear it. They're going to be performing tomorrow night and the night after, and you can learn more about that. Go to our website at WOSU.org/allsides. We'll have a link to you there, and I think it's called theharmonyproject.org.
Is
their website, theharmonyproject.com, so you can go straight to that if you want. Now, before we get too far away from it, the song that we opened up with, I've Got the Music in Me, tell us about that and you know, why you sent that to us to use on the show.
Well, you know, it was a little bit tongue-in-cheek because it was originally recorded by Kiki D, whose biggest claim to fame was the duet with Elton John. You know,
Don't Go Breaking My Heart. Right.
Yeah, should we try it, Ann? you know, it was more about just kind of, I like to have humor mixed in with the experience as well. As I remind the choir constantly, we shouldn't take ourselves too seriously, but we should take what we do seriously. And what we're doing is giving people the opportunity to perform, to live out a dream. And then in return for that, they are asked to give back to the community. So everyday people are given an opportunity to stand on this, you know, very famous Southern theater stage, where many of them have written me and said, you know, I've been to this theater since I was a child, and I never dreamt that I would have the opportunity to stand on that stage.
Before we get too far along, too, just tell us about the concept of the Harmony Project and you know, what it means to you. How do you describe it in a paragraph?
Well, I say that it's an opportunity for everyday people to kind of tear down some walls and work with people who are different from them. Pardon me, and I had about a two-hour rehearsal last night, so I'm a little hoarse this morning.
I heard you're very vocal during that.
Oh, yeah.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, that's a very nice way of saying it. You know, I say that we're an arts and service organization. That's what we have to say to answer the question for who we are technically. But who we are kind of on a kind of community level is, I say that we are the art of community. Art is subjective. We're bringing people together who may have never sung before or who are professional musicians. And while it's not really about music is not the point of what we do. It's about the people who sing the songs. It's about the people who participate. So we have people from, as you pointed out earlier, every corner of the community, every socioeconomic group, different orientations, different religious backgrounds, different political affiliations. And we're not coming together to say, let's all think alike and let's all agree on everything. We say, let's set that to the side and let's focus on using music as a metaphor for building a stronger and more inclusive community.
If you're just joining us, this is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7, and we're talking about the Harmony Project with David Brown. He's the founder and executive director of the Harmony Project, and also Christina Quarles. She's the president of the board of the Harmony Project. So if you have a question or comment for them, we welcome them. We'd also love to know if you have a story about the Harmony Project or you want to share some way it's moved you, something you've learned about it. Give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. So, Christina, did you know David before all of this and go into it knowing what it was about? Or were you like many of the rest of us who saw it on Facebook, thought, wow, what's that, and couldn't really wrap our brain around it at first?
I really happened upon this just out of happenstance. David was working with one of my partners, Larry James, and Larry James was doing some consulting when David was getting started, and Larry said to me, just go to a rehearsal. Just go. It will change your life. You've got to go to a rehearsal. And I was absolutely hooked. I went to a rehearsal at the Lincoln Theater, which is such a great venue.
Wonderful venue.
And where we started the Harmony Project. And I went to a rehearsal and I said, I have got to be involved with this organization. Now, I'm not much of a singer. So I've tried to contribute the things that I can contribute, because in today's reality, even though it is really all about the music and the fellowship and community, there's a business to charitable organizations as well. So I tell everyone that I dot the I's and cross the T's, and David does everything else.
Okay. 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Michelle in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Hi.
Hi. You want to talk about the Harmony Project?
Oh, sure.
Okay, tell us.
It's been kind of transformative for me. And I just joined this season, and I can't say I stumbled across it exactly. I was looking for a choral singing experience. I'm 56, and I have never done that. I've sung all my life, and I've been singing sort of semi-seriously for the last few years, but I wanted to sing with other people, and a woman I had been taking lessons with for a while mentioned that one of her other former students was singing with this choir, and you know, I got online and found it and was heartbroken to see that that it was full and had a waiting list. And then, you know, I heard from David, and I was thrilled to be able to join. And I can just echo what was just said. You walk into your first rehearsal, and you feel as if your life has changed completely.
So what do you sing, Michelle?
What do I sing? On my own, I sing jazz standards, usual. I've never sung gospel before, and I'm a Jewish girl from Brooklyn. My Southern Baptist husband has been very amused to hear me walk around the house,
wow,
David, singing, Lord, I know I've been I was thinking last night after our rehearsal about all these people I've met. Many of us find ourselves in tears in rehearsal all the time. It's very difficult to sing through tears, but something happens. I mean, not just crying, because David's always yelling at us, but
I've heard.
But he yells at us in the
most
loving way. But no, because there's always something moving going on. There's always something happening. And I've been living in Columbus for 23 years, and I teach in the English department at OSU. So I meet a lot of people. Over the years, I have just yesterday when we did, yesterday morning when we did Good Day Columbus, I found one of my former students was the on-air personality who was doing the show on us. So I see my own students all the time, and I see my colleagues, but I'm suddenly meeting this huge range of people. I've made all these wonderful new friends and new Facebook friends. I feel like my horizons have expanded enormously. Thanks to David. Thanks to the project.
Well, thanks for your call. I want us to listen to Lord, I Know I've Been Changed right now. Let's see if we can cue that up. Okay.
Lord, I know I've been changed. Lord, I know I've been changed. The angels in the heaven done sign my name. Lord, I know I've been changed.
That is Lord, I Know I've Been Changed. It's a traditional spiritual, and that you're listening to the Harmony Project Choir, directed by David Brown. He's with us right now. Also, Christina Coral. She is the president of the board of the Harmony Project. Questions, comments for them? Tell us about your story about Harmony Project, how music affects you. You name it. 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Wow, David. It sounds so fantastic. And Michelle talked about how the music moves her and how it moves a lot of people there. I would imagine that one of the reasons it's so great is because everybody really, really, really wants to be there, and they're completely doing it just because they want to do it, not because they're getting paid to do it.
Right.
They're doing it because they got to show up for church on Sunday. Not mm-hmm. that anyone does that, you know, but there's no obligation.
Right. It's either a dream that they've had to do it, or they come in because they've heard about it, they were invited, they thought, I've done choirs in the past, I was in a glee club in school. But there's something about walking into a room full of people where there's been no audition. So there's no, you know, there's no hierarchy. There's no level of, well, they're the leads and they're the background. Everyone's treated equally. And, you know, you hear that, Lord, I know I've been changed, and you go, you know, it's interesting to hear it, and you think it sounds great, and I'm not patting myself on the back, but that did sound pretty good.
It really sounded good.
But, you know, when you take 150 people and there's no audition, so you have, and like in that version of the Harmony Project that year, we had 60 altos, 24 sopranos, and 30-something tenors. So you have 60 altos. For those who know music, that's a very imbalanced choir, but you have to somehow work the harmonies. And again, it becomes a metaphor for what we're doing in the community. I may have too many altos, so I'm going to have to turn and twist the melody and arrange it so that the melody is then in the alto section, so that then the sopranos and the tenors are carrying the harmonies. Well, sopranos are not used to singing harmony. And many of my sopranos will complain, well, this isn't the part that I'm used to singing. Well, yeah, that's the way life is. And you referenced me yelling at them in rehearsals. Well, the way that I like to say it is that I am powerfully inspiring them. And what that's about for me is, again, I keep saying the word metaphor, but it's all about the community experience. It's about constantly reminding them you can't check out. You know, there's a 2.5 to 3 minute song here. Stay focused for that full 3 minutes. Give everything that you have to that 3 minutes. Then you're going to get a 15 to 20 second break to breathe, and then here comes the next song. Well, that's kind of the way life is and the community is. We look at needs. We can't all solve every problem in the community. But if we collectively focus on a Thanksgiving Day, an organization that needs a meal, well, if we all put our collective energy into that for a few days, we resolve that problem, we were able to go, we experience something amazing in the process, and then you're able to go spend the rest of the day with your family.
How did you make the leap from just singing for money for charity to also requiring members of the choir to do good works?
Well, you know, it started with my choir in New York. My choir in New York was similar to this, 150 to 200 voices. We performed at Carnegie Hall, Lincoln Center, but it was very difficult to get New Yorkers to be able to give time because, as everyone knows, New York is perhaps the most competitive city on the face of the earth just for time and space. So it was difficult to get New Yorkers to be able to commit to doing service projects, although they did. With this one, I decided, look, if we're going to give this amazing opportunity to everyday citizens, and we're going to tell them you don't have to spend a dime to ever be a part of this, you never have to sell a ticket, you don't even have to buy the shirt that you wear on stage, we give you this experience as a gift. But then you have to then give a gift back to the community. It's about that ripple effect, or what I like to say is the sound wave of the Harmony Project. To sing on that stage, you must serve. But you can serve in the Harmony Project without singing. So we have events and opportunities for people who want to give back in the community, and they say, you know, I just have zero desire to stand on a stage and sing. Great.
But they love it.
But they love
it.
Yes, but they'll be there and they'll come serve. We're working at Franklin County Children's Services next week. We have people who are not in the choir singing, but they're volunteering and doing crafts and baking cookies and decorating rooms because they've bought into the idea that, you know, the government can't be responsible for solving all the problems. Church groups, temple groups can't be responsible for solving all the problems. That we each have to accept a little bit of responsibility in our community and hopefully affect a dramatic change in just a little bit of action on our individual part.
An email from Alex. He says, I have a quote for your show today. Music is the most physically inspiring of all the arts, from Frank Zappa. And also an email from Liam Worthington writes, I teach early childhood music classes in Columbus. Each week we sing, dance, and play for 45 musical minutes. The kids are ages birth through kindergarten. The parents are critical of their of their children's early music learning, are critical to their kids' early music learning. I have always said that people leave my classes with huge smiles on their faces, and it's not because the kids are cute. I've always felt that it's because as humans, even as adults, we long to make music. As a culture these days, we consume music, but we rarely make it ourselves anymore. People smile as they leave my classes because they just fed their souls. Good for the brain, good for the heart. Mm. Very interesting email, Lee, and it reminds me, yesterday I was looking up the music industry. The recording industry is worth something $150 billion now a year. But how much do any of us really participate in any of that? Something to think about. We'll be right back and continue our conversation about the Harmony Project with David Brown, founder and executive director, and also Christina Coral. She's the president of the board of the Harmony Project. We'll be right back with those calls, too, on All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Tom Asbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, Ron Paul 2012. Contender, spoiler, hero, or not? We'll check in on this singular GOP candidate. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
And On Point begins this afternoon at 1 o'clock on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us for All Sides with Ann Fisher today. In 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, Hour 2 of All Sides begins with Tech Tuesday and a discussion of online charitable giving, technology reliability, and gadgetry. Join us for Tech Tuesday from 11 till noon on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 comes from Columbus College of Art and Design, where the spring semester of Saturday morning art classes for children and youth begins February 4th. Information and online registration are available at www.ccad.edu.
And remember that it's easy to renew your membership. Visit wosu.org/renew to make your annual gift today. And while online, don't forget to have your membership renew automatically. It's a quick, easy, and efficient way to show your support. Just visit wosu.org/renew. And thanks. Partly sunny skies today, warming up to a high of 46. Rain moves into the area tonight, a low of 36 degrees. Rain on Wednesday, a high of 54. And All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Without a lifeline in these troubled waters, you'll sink like a stone. Tell me who's gonna carry you across the river of sorrow. Who's gonna carry you over the mountains of doubt when you stumble and fall?
The song, it's called Who's Gonna Carry You by Eve Nelson and Diane Scanlon. It's special. Well, there's a solo. And tell us a bit about that song, David Brown.
Well, the song itself I found when I was living in New York, and I love it. It says, this is a city of mercy in a world that's gone insane, but we are the people and so many faces all one in the same. The lead vocalist on that particular song is Judge Kimberly Cockcroft. So by day, a Common Pleas judge, by night with the Harmony Project, a vocalist inspiring thousands and probably sharing the stage with maybe some people who appeared before her in the courtroom. You never know.
You've done this before. You tried it in New York. But were you surprised at the variety of people that showed up?
In Columbus?
Yeah.
Quite honestly, Anne, I really did not think there was enough diversity in Columbus to pull this off. What my experience here years ago, I had lived in Bexley and worked in Bexley and went to Capitol, and I had been downtown in Bexley. And I didn't really know Columbus. And when we put the ad out and said, would you like to be a part of something bigger than yourself? Now, we did offer an open bar and free food. but we had almost 200 people show up. And I was blown away by the diversity. And I'm not talking just, you know, skin color. Sometimes we get locked into thinking that's what we mean by diversity. But I was just blown away by the different social experiences that people brought to the room. And I think that Columbus while you do have to scratch the surface sometimes in Columbus, when you do take the time to do that, you find out that this is an incredibly multicultural community. It doesn't always get recognized for that, but the Harmony Project is trying to be a face of that.
Andy?
Yes.
In Dungannon, Ohio. Welcome to the show, Andy.
Howdy.
Hi. You wanted to talk about music.
Yes, ma'am. This goes back to the intense focus, and this is one of the side benefits. I've given lessons for the last 30 years on a bunch of bluegrass-based instruments, and one of the things I noticed is in the intense focus, it sets your mind up into a meditative state. When you have to pay so much attention to any one thing to make any progress in it, It like splits your brain into a meditative state and allows the brain to heal itself. And it's good for depression. I've given lessons to divorced people, car wreck victims, people pronounced dead. And it actually helps them heal up in a way that they don't expect just because of the intense focus.
And it's the idea of performing the music, not just listening to it.
Yes, the actual act of learning, the intense focus of actual learning music.
Okay. Thank you, Andy. Do you want to, David?
Well, I think Andy is spot on. I think that that's part of what our rehearsals are about, is that we have a very intense 45 minutes of practice, and it goes at a rapid-fire pace. But I believe that music, just like in life, if you spin it fast enough, the loose parts begin to kind of fall away. And what you're left with is this really tight core. And the choir members, there's the experience of the core of the collective coming together, so you have a song that sounds like the ones we've been listening to. But there's also that personal core that is developed within you when you're hyper-focused on something for 3 to 5 minutes and all of your intensity is focused in one energy, one direction, then nothing but positive energy can respond from that. Every action has a reaction. So if you're putting that positive energy into that, positive energy is going to come back to you.
Ken in Pataskala, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ann. I just wanted to say thank you to David Brown, our son, who I won't mention his name, he'd probably never forgive me, but he suffers from severe depression and anxiety. He has a very tough time even getting out in school, participating in events with his friends, but he has sang with the Harmony Project on and off in the teen group several times. I mean, he has nearly an entire dresser drawer filled with black T-shirts that say Harmony on them. But when we are able to get him to participate, and we couldn't get him to do it this time around, we really tried. So we're going to try to focus on maybe having him help with the community events and that angle, because we know that it's good for him. It's good for his depression. He is always so upbeat and happy when he is singing with the Harmony Project, and it just makes it's made a huge difference in his life. And we're very thankful to David for bringing that to Columbus and sharing that with everybody and for all the work that he does. And like I said, I just wanted to give him thanks and encourage everybody to go out and listen to the Harmony group sing. That music just resonates right through you, and it's all you can think about and feel the entire time you're there. So thank you very much.
Well, I'd like to jump in and say I know who you're talking about, and you just let him know that I miss him, and I appreciate you calling in. It was very, very, very generous and sweet of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Thanks for calling. There's the teen choir, apparently.
Right.
They're a youth choir.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when younger people showed up for the other choir. How did that happen? I mean,
well,
you got some spinoffs here.
We do, but it's all under the same umbrella. The Harmony Project is the umbrella, and then under that is different programs. We try to give voice. Our homeless program gives voice to people whose voices have basically been silenced, but we also provide social interaction for them. Our teen program is more than just music. Once a week, we're at the Arts and College Preparatory Academy, which is a private charter public school. And all of the students there come from different schools around Columbus. They were all bullied, teased, had rough experiences in the schools that they were in. Well, we go out once a week and we introduce people from the community who've been labeled or marginalized themselves. And they share their personal story with the teenagers. The kids then film. They make their own documentaries. They do social blogging. And then they also work on music. The teenagers this season are working on the Linda Perry song, Beautiful, that was made popular by Christina Aguilera. And they've been talking about, they're labeling themselves. I'm talking about labels that people have put on them. They've met Mike Messina, a young man who has Down syndrome. He talked to them. The kids were blown away that he lived on his own, that he wanted to be married. And they were like, what kind of music do you listen to? He listens to the same music they listen to. A member of the choir, Janae Miller, who's blind, went out and talked to the students about how people treat blind people, how look at them, how they treat them as if they're special needs. And she said, I'm just like you. I just don't see the sunlight. And it's about breaking these stereotypes. And in the process of that, the kids are then kind of coming into their own strength, learning their own voices. And when I see them standing there singing, I am beautiful in every single way, words can't bring me down, I think that's a foundation that's being laid for their futures. And then their children, their friends, will grow up in a world where these people were saying labels are irrelevant. We need to do away with those. We need to be able to embrace each other as who we are.
So, Christina Coral, how do you manage all of this as it gets bigger and bigger in a way? What's it been like?
Well, that's a good question. We have a wonderful working board, but really it's been just a lot of hard work. David is absolutely amazing and takes care of all of the creative planning, the organizing. People don't understand that they see the end product, but the work it takes to get to where we are is unbelievable. But it feels so good to be involved with something like this that it makes every second that you spend worth it.
How do you decide what projects you're going to do outside of the choir? Performances.
Well, we have really focused our efforts so far on a couple of things. The homeless community, and also we have worked hand in hand for several years with Franklin County Children's Services. We do a toy drive, which we're currently doing right now.
And like hunger, the issues of like hunger, homelessness, right. And like children and youth education.
Right.
And, you know, and what Christina is not going to say about herself that I will say about her is that, you know, she is the person who can get a group of people, excuse me, executives around a table and say, okay, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen by this day. This is your job. This is your job. This is your job. Come back to me tomorrow and tell me that it's done. And I love people who work like that. I don't like to waste any time. Our board, not only, you know, as Christina said, a working board, but I want to give a shout out to the board because were it not for our board members, you know, we live and die by the grants as every nonprofit organization
does. You just got a pretty
good
grant, didn't
you? We just got a PNC Arts Live grant for $25,000.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And PNC is incredibly generous with their program that they have going right now. Greater Columbus Arts Council has been incredibly supportive of the Harmony Project. We've got, you know, local communities, CH2M Hill, which is an architects engineering firm here in town, which is unusual for companies like that to come on with a nonprofit arts organization. But they found out about us and they came on last year, sponsored our winter concert and toy drive. And this year we're like, we want to be back. You know, just last week, Ohio Capital Corporation for Housing and Hal Keller's organization reached out to us because they know the work that we do in the community. They said, we want to be a part of this. We want to support you. So to have organizations reaching out to us and offering support means a lot. But to be able to have a board member and the community members, we provide each community member in the organization with a menu, a sing, serve, share menu, and we give them opportunities. The menu selection may just be, I'm going to be prepared at rehearsal. Because for some people, that's really all they have to give is to be prepared. But for others, they're able to sponsor, they're able to write checks and donate and collect gifts for others. But we try to find a way for everyone to give back.
Dave in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Yeah, hi, Ann. I just wanted to make a couple comments. I wanted to congratulate the Harmony Project for all that they do. And just mention that music has been my avocation for a long time, and I have played and sung in every possible venue, from nightclubs to facilities where people are in total regression in dementia and Alzheimer's. And it, regardless of what happens, the music's a tremendous form of communications, and people who you think are totally not responsive at all will tap their feet or move their fingers when they hear music, so you know you're getting through to them, and it's just an absolute thrill to be able to do that. And I am 85 years old, and I'm still playing three or four times a week in jazz and a folk
Excellent.
Group.
And you sound like, you know, you're 50, so there you go.
Well, it's kept me young. It's just been an avocation, but it's really been a tremendous relief to me, and I just think that there's nothing better than music to connect to people. So I just wanted to make that comment.
Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
Sherry in Reynoldsburg, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Sherry. We're running out of time, but I wanted to squeeze you in.
Thank you. Hi, Ann. Hi, David.
Hi, Sherry.
I want to tell you, I'm a retired Columbus music teacher, and I've sung professionally since I was 18 and everywhere, and this is the most awesome experience I have had musically in my entire lifetime. The Harmony Project, someone recommended it to me after the first season, and I went not knowing anyone, and the group has lifted me up, and I have totally enjoyed it. And as a music director, I'm inspired by what David does because he is so on task all the time with rehearsals and everything. I'm in awe of that. And I wanted to say, too, that I've thoroughly enjoyed working with the Unison Project this year because we all know that we're one step away from where they are, and it gives me an appreciation of where they are and where I've been able to be. And the Harmony Project is very special to me. And I salute those who are in charge, because it's wonderful to be a part of this group. Thanks.
Thank you, Sherry.
Sherry, you'll get all the solos next season, all right?
All right. I'm on it.
You know, people like Sherry who have been into music their whole lives are involved in the project, as well as people that just sing in the shower for most of their lives or all of their lives. What about combining those two elements, people who have performed a lot and people who haven't?
Well, that's why I yell a lot in rehearsal. You know, it is a challenge, but it is a challenge that I really enjoy because that is the part of it that artistically really keeps me on my game. When you're having to remind someone who's not accustomed to standing in front of an audience of 1,000 people at the Southern Theater that an audience is watching them, then you have to keep them focused, but also not beating them up so much so that those who are professionals are like, well, I haven't been yelled at like this in my entire musical career.
David Brown, thanks so much for joining
us today.
Thank
you, Ann.
David is the founder and executive director of the Harmony Project. For more information, theharmonyproject.com is where you go. You can also go to the All Sides at WOSU or All Sides. I've forgotten our website. I can't. WOSU.org/all sides. Wow. And Christina Coral, thanks for joining us, Christina.
Thank you.
Christina dots the I's and crosses the T's for the Harmony Project as president of the board. Again, for more information, WOSU.org/all sides. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.